Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Over time, we have been trying to bring you conversations with presidential candidates when they're in the region, especially if they're from the region. And joining us now from Concord, New Hampshire is Bill Weld, Republican presidential candidate and former Massachusetts governor. Governor Weld, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana. A pleasure to be with you.
And you, call us, call the governor. We've got him on the line. He's a candidate for the presidency. What do you want to know? What questions do you have for Bill Weld? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Governor, it strikes me that doing well in New Hampshire, which is a state where you have some, you know, real recognition, would be key to any path that you have to the Republican nomination. How important is winning New Hampshire to you, and how are you doing there?
No, it's great in New Hampshire. I'm all over the country, of course. I spent 5 days with my wife in Iowa last week, and we're off to California for 3 days next week. But New Hampshire's been number one destination ever since I announced back in April. I'd say we've been here 3 or 4 days most weeks since then. And it's a very hospitable environment for me. When I tell people here I'm a New England Republican, they know exactly what I mean. It means I'm flinty, you know, stingy with the budget, welcoming and tolerant, open on social issues. And that's a good combination in this part of the world. So the strategy, as you say, is to do well beyond expectations, ideally to win in New Hampshire, which might even be a knockout blow for Mr. Trump. But even beyond expectations, I've seen the impact that can have. For example, when Pat Buchanan in 1992 got just 37% of the vote against Mr. Bush, 43, who was riding very high, 91% both parties in the polls, it knocked him right off his pins.
So let's talk about that, because President Trump is consistently polling near 90% among likely Republican voters. A BUR poll from December had just 9% of likely Republican primary voters in New Hampshire saying they'll support you. What is your strategy for bringing those numbers up specifically, especially with the primary less than a month away?
Well, you know, it does bounce back and forth. In the month of September, there was a poll where I went up 11 points and Mr. Trump went down 17 for a net change of 28 points. So it's somewhat volatile. But there is a strategy, which is to make sure that not just members of the Republican State Committee and their, you know, family members and hangers-on vote in the Republican primary. And this is a crossover state like Massachusetts, like Vermont, where independent voters can take any ballot that they want. And that was the secret to my getting elected in Massachusetts. I'd get about 50% of the Republican vote, and then the independents would come in and vote 6-1 for me because I was sort of thought to be a centrist kind of guy. So, you know, I'm trying to get more women to vote in this primary, more younger voters, broaden the electorate, kind of the opposite of what the Republicans in Washington like to do, which is voter suppression. And that'll be the key to getting my numbers up in New Hampshire, which, as you say, is a big part of the strategy.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your question to Governor Bill Weld. We've got Emmanuel on the line from the Back Bay. Emmanuel, go ahead. What's your question for Bill Weld?
Yeah, hi, Governor Weld. Basically, you've been a lifelong Republican, and I'm just interested in to think, what do you think of what's happened to your party? It's been hijacked. It's been a hostile takeover by a charlatan and a con man. What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that's true of Republicans as a whole. I'm a little disappointed with the Republicans in Washington who are sitting quietly by and, you know, pretending they're whistling past the graveyard, pretending nothing's going on with the impeachment and possible removal of the president. They're saying, oh, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. That's poppycock. I mean, there's plenty there. But, you know, the rank and file Republicans, I can understand why people were attracted to the energy and freshness of Mr. Trump. I just don't happen to agree with a lot of the stuff he's done in office. I think we can't continue with these trillion-dollar deficits, and we can't insult our allies, and we shouldn't be isolationists, and we shouldn't do tariffs, and we should worry about environmental issues. So obviously there's a lot of things I'd like to do differently, but I don't blame the rank and file of the party for electing Mr. Trump.
Governor, I want to ask you about that because the Massachusetts Republican Party actually tried to keep you off the Republican primary ballot here until Democratic Secretary of State Bill Galvin stepped in. In Wisconsin, a state Republican committee has kept you off the ballot. So what do you make? Those are rank and file Republicans. What do you make of their attempt
to keep
you off the ballot?
Those are not rank and file Republicans.
So talk some more about that.
Those are the Republican state committees. Jim Lyons is the chair of the Republican state committee. Andrew Hitt is the chairman of the Wisconsin State Committee, Republican Party. And the Trump campaign has merged its operations with the Republican state committees in every state. In every state, the Republican state committee is the Trump organization. So that's exactly the tree that it would be no point in my trying to bark up that tree. Jim Lyons called me Benedict Arnold and said I wasn't fit to be on the ballot. But, you know, if you're generally recognized as a serious presidential candidate, other people can put you on the ballot. That's what happened in Massachusetts.
Does it concern you about your ability to penetrate into the Republican vote if, as you say, the Trump administration is coordinating with the state party in every state?
You know, they don't always win. They tried to abolish the New Hampshire First in the Nation primary. That didn't go down too well in New Hampshire because they understand its importance to New Hampshire's influence in the country at large. So that fell on deaf ears. And I like to say that the people of New Hampshire were the first ones to stand up to Donald Trump this year. And I hope they'll do it again on February 11th.
I'd like to take another call here. 1-800-423-8255. We've got John from Quincy. John, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. I'm curious how you feel about the regime change wars that we're constantly doing. And, you know, seeing how you feel about being in every single conflict with every single country and just our military budget just expanding continually and our debt also expanding.
Let's turn that over to the governor.
Well, I've said many times I'm not in favor of boots on the ground for regime change every time we see something in another country that we don't like. And that's a temptation if you get to feeling, you know, too free with your power when you live in the White House. But it's not good for the country at large. And I'm ever mindful of the fact that those body bags that come back from those conflicts, they contain people who are 20 to 23 years old. So I think we want to think long and hard before we send boots on the ground for regime change. And I've said that many times. I don't understand why we have troops in Afghanistan. I do think that the out-of-control trillion-dollar deficits have to be eliminated and eliminated quickly, as I did in Massachusetts with similar situation. And you can't spare any account there. So I think there's money to be saved everywhere, including the military. Including, you know, bureaucracies in Washington that nobody really knows what they do, but they were the pet child of some long-dead U.S. senator. Got to get rid of those entirely.
Let's bring in another call. We've got Amanda on the line from Cambridge. Amanda, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I'm a registered independent, obviously in Massachusetts. I do tend to vote Democratic, mostly based on social issues. I did vote for Governor Weld, and I thought that he did a great job in the state. And while I do have a number of Democratic candidates in mind for president, if he won the Republican candidacy and ultimately became president, I would be very comfortable with that.
All right. There you go, Governor Weld.
Thank you, Amanda. Spoken like a true Cantabrigian.
So, Governor Weld, Amanda's comments raise a couple of questions for me. The first is, you have run as a libertarian in the past. Why run as a Republican here, especially given what you just told me about the sort of the Republican infrastructure and power structure? Why not run as an independent? Does running as Republican just weaken President Trump and make him a weaker opponent against Democrats? Or did you think that this was the path that would get you the nomination versus running as an independent?
Well, I wanted the direct shot at Mr. Trump because I think he's a clear and present danger to our democratic institution. So I didn't want to dribble around the court. I wanted to go right for the hoop. And, you know, when you run as a third party, people say, oh, who did your votes come from? When I run directly against Mr. Trump, there's no question about where my votes come from. They come from Mr. Trump, and that's just how I wanted it.
So given that straight shot at the basket, if you don't get the nomination, will you then work to support a Democratic challenger to Donald Trump? Are you that concerned about him being reelected?
Well, I would never support Mr. Trump. I think he's dangerous to the country. So I would support someone else. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Let's take another call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Chris from Leominster, go ahead.
Hi, Governor Weld. I just want to lead off saying I am an independent voter in Massachusetts. I am planning on voting for you in the primary. I just have
Thank
a quick
you,
question,
sir.
Though. If you are elected, what are you going to do to help the middle class in an economy that, frankly, has not been great to the middle class under Donald Trump?
Well, first of all, I'm going to make sure that all the people who get displaced because of all the artificial intelligence and drones and robotics and driverless cars and machine learning and all that, which is going to be like 15% to 20% of all jobs, get the post-secondary three semesters of post-secondary training and technical skills that will get them replacement jobs at higher wages. Those are Trump voters, should be Trump voters, displaced workers. No one is rolling up their sleeves in Washington and seeing that that happens. But those are already middle-class voters. You know, long-haul trucker, maybe at the high end of that. Those are great jobs. They pay $140,000 a year. But the first day that the trucks, the driverless trucks hit the interstates, those people are going to be out of a job. And they are capable people. They know everything that's going on under the hood of that car. And it's not just a simple engine anymore. It's a computer. So they're going to have a relatively easy retraining path. But I've run the numbers. And even at the state level, it's 1/3 of 1% of a state budget. And to govern is to choose. And when you have something that's a state emergency or a national emergency, you go right to it and you solve the problem. And that's what I would do. So that would be going right to the middle class. I also would want to support the working poor and people a couple of rungs below the middle class, and because I'm worried about the social fabric, social cohesion in this country because of the divisiveness of the Trump administration.
Governor Weld, I want to shift gears because we have a limited amount of time left. I want to talk about impeachment for a minute. The Senate trial begins on Tuesday. You began your career as junior counsel on the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee during the 1974 impeachment inquiry against President Nixon. With that in mind, do you think the House handled its role properly in waiting to provide the articles to the Senate?
Well, yes, I do. And I had to read the transcript of every impeachment trial in history. I was a Republican member of the staff for the House Judiciary Committee on the Nixon impeachment, and I got very familiar with the reasons for the impeachment and removal clause. And the two things that the people, the founders, the framers, were most concerned about were foreign interference in our affairs and corruption of office, by which they meant the president using his office to benefit himself, whether financially, politically, whatever, as opposed to trying to benefit the country exclusively. Both of those top fears of the people who wrote the removal clause are here in spades in the Ukraine article, Article 1, and I think Article 2 is also, there's a similar article in the Nixon impeachment. But I think the case for impeachment on the facts adduced by the House is, frankly, overwhelming. If this is not impeachable, nothing ever would be.
Sorry to interrupt. I want to get a couple more things in. Do you think there are any Republicans who will peel away and vote in the Senate to find him guilty?
Yeah, I think even now there are a handful who will. But I also think if we get live witnesses in the Senate, I've been a litigator and a prosecutor long enough to know that cases often turn out, they take twists and turns, and virtually nothing is more than 75% predictable in litigation. So you could see a lot more support for removal if new witnesses and new evidence turn up in the Senate.
That's Bill Weld, Republican presidential candidate and former governor of Massachusetts. Thanks so much, Governor Weld, for joining us.
Thank you.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR 90.9, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.